Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Don't thank me for all deserting our lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a heart of pearl. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop.
Be made of gold too. We always hear about the streets being made of gold, but all the buildings are going to be made of gold too. And the gates are going to be made all kinds of beautiful precious stones. But we're going to be in Philippians 4 today. Don't worry, be joyful. Philippians 4 verse 6 through 9. Don't worry, we won't say don't worry, be happy like the old song says. But we're going to say don't worry, be joyful. That's what he says. I could actually back up a verse or two, and that's what he tells us in Philippians 4:4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice and let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have heard, learned and received and heard, and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So we're going to talk about the peace that passes all understanding this morning. You know, as we go through times, and we're not supposed to, but as Christians, sin is really a worry, but guess what? We all do it, don't we? We all worry, and of course, you know, like I said, becoming a Christian doesn't mean you quit sinning. It just means that that's you don't want to. And that's what we've been talking about in Romans 7. We're going to talk about more about that next week when we come back. Hopefully we'll be back in that and finish up 14 through 21 of chapter 7. But it means that you do the things that you don't want to do. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, I will rejoice. And let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord's at hand. And that Lord is at hand means he's near, he's round us, he's close. And you know what? God's always with us, isn't he? I mean, the Bible says he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. If we're Christians, he's always right there at hand. And so then he goes on to say, be anxious for nothing. The first thing we want to talk about today is the problem is worry. The problem is worry. The old King James Version says, be careful for nothing, but that doesn't really make sense today. In other words, don't go around being careful. We want to be careful all the time, but don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And really, this is a command. Somebody did a survey. I don't know who it was. They said that 92% of the things that we worry about never happen. That means that only 8% of the things that we worry about happen. That's pretty good odds, isn't it? And that word worry means to strangle. It means to be pulled apart, pulled in two directions at the same time. I always think about the old cowboy movies. Anybody remember the cowboy movies? And they would tie the guy to a horse on one side, and then they tie him to a horse would on the other side, and they try to pull him apart. Well, guess what? That's what worry does. It pulls us apart. It tears us to pieces. Because worry, guess what? You can't really eat. You can't really sleep. You can't really think. And you go to bed at night thinking about it. You wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. You wake up first thing in the morning thinking about it. And every time your mind gets settled for just a second, what happens? You begin thinking about whatever's bothering you, right? And at least that's the way it is for me. And I believe it's true for all of us. I don't know about y'all, but when I worry, and I think this is true of everybody too, that when I get worried about something, I get some kind of weird, almost like an electrical jolt in my stomach that kind of just shoots through my body. It's kind of a weird, like I guess it's a tightening up of your body or something when you think of something. And I don't know what you would call that, but it's kind of weird. But when you worry, it just messes you up totally and completely, doesn't it? One man said that the reason we worry is, number one, because we have an inadequate knowledge of God. In other words, we don't know enough about Him to trust Him totally and completely, right? And that's a problem, because God is completely and totally trustworthy. And then the second thing is we just don't trust Him completely. I don't know why we don't trust God totally and completely, but we ought to, right? I mean, I don't think God's ever let me down. I know He's never let me down. I won't say I don't think. I know He's never let me down. He doesn't always do everything I want Him to do, but He does what's best for me, and He does what's best for y'all and us, right? He says we don't be anxious about anything. What does Matthew 25 through 34 talk about? He talks about that section. He says, don't be anxious about your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink or your body, what you shall put on. You know, he talks about the birds of the air, that God takes care of them, right? And if He takes care of the birds of the air, will He not much more take care of us, right? And then he goes on to say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto us, right? Problem is so many times we're seeking our stuff and we want our way and our will, and that's when we get in trouble. But when we seek first God's kingdom, what's He going to do? He's going to take care of everything else, right? And so we don't have to worry. Remember, no matter how bad it gets out there, no matter how bad it looks sometimes, and I keep saying it over and over again, just read to the back of the book and the end of the book of Revelation. And the Bible says how it's going to turn out. God wins in the end. And you know what? We don't have to worry. God's still on the throne. He's still up there. And He's never caught off guard by anything. One man said it this way: has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? He's not up there going, uh-oh, did you see what happened to Marty? What are we going to do about that? He knows everything, right? That's the good thing about God, is He knows everything. He knows everything that's going to happen. And I don't know, you always talk about people being one step ahead of you and beating you somehow, some way at different things. But you know what? God's about I don't know how many quadrillion steps ahead of us. It's probably not even a number, because the greatest miracle greatest miracle is not that God heals us, but that God takes everything in our lives and He works it all out together for good. That's the greatest thing about God. That's the greatest miracle. So the problem is worry, but what does He say? Don't worry, because the prescription is prayer. What does He say? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the prescription is prayer. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, he says, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. And then Psalms 55, 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Think about this. I don't know if any of y'all know anything about cast nets. But when you cast something, that means to throw something, right? And that's what God is saying. He's saying, throw your burdens on me, because I care for you. We can't handle the burdens. We can't handle the problems. We can't handle the stuff in life. But what do? We cast our burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain us. He will keep us. He will keep us strong. That's what Ephesians 6 says. Stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might, right? Because on my own, you know, we think as human beings, well, I can handle this. But what does He say? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And that prayer and supplication just means specific request and general request. Sometimes we make specific requests, and sometimes we make general requests. But you know, you can pray about anything. You can pray about parking spots if you need a parking spot, a closed parking spot, you know. I mean, we went down to Forsyth Park, and there was this, our church was group was having a community group. A lot of the churches now, we meet in community groups, and our church doesn't have enough room for Sunday school for adults because it's all taken up with kids. But basically, we meet in community groups during the week, and that kind of takes the place of Sunday school. So they wanted to have this picnic down at Forsyth. If you know anything about Forsyth Park, it's almost impossible to find a parking spot. And we drove up there, and I'm saying to my wife, good gracious, why did they pick this place? I mean, we're never going to find a parking spot. And then I pulled in the wrong direction over there, and I was supposed to pull in the second entrance, not the first entrance, which is kind of backwards to me. But anyway, I pull in the first entrance, and I'm going the wrong way. So I had to wait and let a couple people get out my way, or me get out of their way, rather, since I'm going the wrong way. And I said, oh, Lord, the only way we're going to get a parking spot around here is if you give us one. Please give us one. And about that time, somebody pulled out right in front of us, and we pulled right in, right in front of that little building right there. And I said, thank you, Lord. So we got a little testimony. God even answers prayers about parking. Yeah, every time I go out to the jail, you have to walk a mile when you get to the jail. And if you don't park in the first parking lot, you have to walk 2 miles. So I always pray when I get out there, please give me one of them parking spots in that first lot so I don't have to walk 2 miles. I only got to walk a mile. I should be walking to 2 for my exercise is what I should be doing. But He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why does He say with thanksgiving? Because, you know, I don't always get my prayers answered like I want them. And, you know, it's a good thing we don't, right? I think it was, Ruth Graham said that she prayed a long time ago for God to give her this certain man that she was in love with, she thought she was in love with. And she said, I want to marry this man, Lord. And the Lord didn't give her that man. He gave her Billy Graham instead. So she said, well, I'm sure glad He didn't answer that first prayer. But he had something better in place, right? So we pray with thanksgiving, not because God always gives us what we want, but He gives us what we need, right? That's the wonderful thing about God is when we pray to Him, and He doesn't give us always, like I said, what we want, but He gives us what we need. He gives us the best things. The old show, Father knows best, God knows best, and He knows what to give us, right? So He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So you pray and you thank God, right? Isn't that what James 1 says? He talks about when you go through various trials, count it all joy. And He says, if anybody lacks wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God, and God gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, He doesn't say, oh, here comes Marty again. How many times has he been here today wanting wisdom, Marty? Go away, leave me alone. He says, Marty, you need some wisdom? What do you need? And He says, if we ask, believing, He will give it to us, right? And so that's what He's saying here with thanksgiving. You ask and you believe that God's going to do the best thing, and you put it in His hand and you trust Him, right? We give it up to God and we trust Him. So He says, let your request be made known to God. And then the promise is peace in verse 7. And He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So John 16:33 talks about you will keep him in perfect. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, right? In other words, the Bible says that we're going to go through problems and we're going to have trouble. But you know what he says? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And you know what that means? If he's overcome the world, guess what? We can too. He says in, I think it's 1 John chapter 5, he says, who is an overcomer? It is he who believes that Jesus is the Christ. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So when we put our trust in Christ, we are overcomers. We are able to overcome. Isn't that what Romans 8, when we get there, says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are super conquerors. Well, it's like we got a big S on our chest, sort of like Superman, but it stands for super conqueror. We are more than conquerors. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So when we keep our mind fixed on God instead of the junk of the world, what happens? He keeps us in perfect peace, right? But what happens, we sit here, and we'll talk more about this in a minute. We don't think about God, but we think about the junk that's bothering us, right? So that's what the last couple of verses are talking about. And then there's another verse over here in Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. And I love this, that, you know, God doesn't promise to get us out of the trial, but he promises to be with us through the trial. That's why we can pray with thanksgiving. And like I said, the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer, and then the promise is peace. And what kind of peace is it? A peace that passes all understanding, right? Isn't that what John 14 talks about also? It says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, but I give you a different kind of peace, right? The world's peace comes in a bottle or a pill or something, you know. We're always trying to find peace some kind of way. But God's peace is a different kind of peace. And so Isaiah 43 verse 2 and 3 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And then he goes on to say, for I am the Holy One of Israel, the Lord your God. So basically, what does he say? He doesn't say, when I get you out of the waters. But what does he say? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. They will not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you, and they will not burn you nor scorch you. In other words, y'all remember those three guys? We always know their bad names, the ones that the king renamed them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, it was Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, the three friends of Daniel. And that's a mouthful, isn't it? But they remember they stood before the king, and the king says, bow down and worship this image. And they said, oh king, we don't even need to think about this. We've already made up our minds. We're not going to worship you, and we're not going to worship this image. But you do what you need to. If you need to throw us in the fire, throw us in the fire. You know, our God can deliver us. And if he does deliver us, that's fine. But if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to worship you, O king. They were willing to die for their faith. And remember, they heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. And the guys that threw them in the fire, they got killed throwing the 3 guys in the fire. And the king looks down. He must have been way up somewhere, so the fire didn't get him. But he looks down and he sees 3 men. He sees Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then he says, and I see another one like the Son of God in the fire with him. Who was that? That was Jesus Christ himself was in the fire with him, right? So when Daniel was in the lion's den, who was in the fire with, who was in the lion's den with him? God, right? I mean, them lions weren't, it wasn't that those lions weren't hungry. They said they threw them people in there that set Daniel up, and they didn't even hit the ground. They said they were gone. They just ate them up completely before they even hit the ground. Their bones didn't even touch the ground. So nothing hit the ground. They said, when Joseph was in the prison, who was with him? When Moses was in the wilderness, who was with him? when David was in the wilderness. That's who I was singing about. David was out there running from Saul, who was with him. He said he didn't take them out of the fire, out of the trouble, but he was with them through the trouble, right? So that's the thing that we need to do. As James says, count it all joy when we go through various trials. And so we know that God is with us. We know that we have given it to God when we do what? When we can think about it and it doesn't bother us. When you don't get that electrical jolt, when you don't feel all messed up and, you know, don't get all nervous and you don't get all whacked out. You may wake up at night and you may think about it, but when you think about it, you go, oh, it didn't bother me. I didn't feel that little jolt. It didn't bother me, you know. What we have to do is we say, God, you take this. Cast it on him. Here, God, you take it. I can't handle it. And we give it to him. And when we've totally given to him, the promise is peace. Now, you know what we do sometimes? We come back and take it back. And we, next thing you know, we're getting nervous and upset and all messed up again. And we have to realize, oops, I took it back. And then, you know what we got to do? We got to say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I took it back. Here, it's yours again, and throw it back on him. I mean, what's the old saying? God will never put more on you than you can handle. But the only way you can handle it is through Jesus Christ. If you go a few more verses over there to Philippians 4, look at verse 11. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, this is not a verse for beating the other ball team or something. You know, you always see all these sports teams have, I can do all things through Christ. I can climb mountains. I can jump this. I'm running faster than a speeding locomotive or whatever, you know. But that's not what that verse is about. The verse is about, no matter what I go through, no matter how difficult it is, I can do all things. He says, I have learned to be content. No matter where I'm at, no matter what situation I am. You know, that's the problem with America. We're not content. We don't know how to be content with what we have. What does Paul say to Timothy? Godliness with contentment is great gain. So we don't know how to be content with what we have, whatever situation we're in. But God can strengthen us through whatever situation we're in. And then he says, the principle in verse 8 is right thinking, or the principle of displacement. Notice what he says back at verse 7, 1 minute. He says it surpasses all understanding. It will guard your what? Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So it guards your hearts. Heart's not this in the Bible. The old King James Version used to translate that word bowels. My cousins used to tell their daddy, he'd get all mad and upset. They said, Daddy, don't get your bowels in an uproar. And that wasn't very nice, but I mean, that's true. When you get mad, when you get angry, when you get anxious, what happens? You're just, your whole inside's wound up, right? And they say that that's not good for you. And the doctors have said, you know, that stress and strain and anger and all those things will do what? It will kill you, right? They said, you know, it guards your hearts, your insides, stops you from getting that ain't feeling, and it stops your minds from locking up, right? How does he do it? Through Christ Jesus. And that word guard is the word garrison. And the city of Philippi was a Roman city, and they had this elite crack troop of Roman guards that protected that city. They surrounded that city. They protected that city. And you know what Paul was saying? Just as those people, those men are surrounding the city of Philippi and protecting and taking care of it, God's going to surround and protect us, right? He's going to take care of us. And so then he says, like I said, the next one is the principle of right thinking. And what does he say? He says, finally, brethren, verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, right? And we know all those words. I mean, noble means worthy of respect. Pure is clean. And we know what lovely means. If anything is good, report. And so we want to have a good report card, or we want to hear something good, right? If there's any virtue, that means excellence. Anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's one reason I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at the news and all the junk out there. I got a friend of mine, she's always watching the news and all the junk that's out there, and she says, "Man, what do? I just get so upset and so mad," and I go, "You don't watch it. You fill your mind with good stuff. You don't think about those things, right?" I mean, I look at just enough stuff on Facebook or whatever to kind of get an idea of what's going on out there. But you got to remember, most of these news people, they're pretty negative, and most 99% of everything you see on TV is going to be what? Negative. And what happens to your mind when you're always filling your mind with negative stuff? You become negative, right? I mean, I used to work with some people, and I mean, it was like we worked up on a platform and we could see everybody around us. We could see everybody goofing off. We could see everybody doing what they weren't supposed to do and everything else. And after a while, we just start getting negative because we could see everything. And I just said, I got to quit doing this. I got to quit acting like that, you know. And negativity will eat us up, right? And it's hard to not get into those mindsets. But we don't need to know all that junk that's going out there. I put it this way. My uncle years ago, and a lot of times, they just flat out lie to us on the news. They just flat out lie to us. My uncle years ago, he was in Kuwait. He was an engineer, and he was helping them build their roads over there. And it's a little old place. I didn't know all this. But I said, "Aren't you scared over there?" I think this was maybe before I became a Christian, I don't know, or just first became a Christian. I said, "Aren't you scared?" I said, "Every day on the TV, they talk about all the bombings and all the stuff going on over there." He said, "Marty," he said, "Kuwait's about 4 miles square." He says, "It's a little old place." He said, "If there was any bombings going on, I would have known about it." And every day on the news, Kuwait and all around is being bombed. Maybe you remember that time. I got some friends that work for Gulfstream. They were over there a few years ago, and you know, every day on the news, they were over in Saudi Arabia and over in Iran and Iraq, over in that area, or Israel or whatever. They were in Israel. That's where it was. They were in Israel. The people are saying every day on the news, they're bombing here, bombing there, and the guy's wife's worried to death about him. And he calls her and he says, "Listen, honey, that stuff ain't even near. There's nothing going on over here, especially what they're saying on the news." And then she gets over there and her mama's calling her, worried about her, and she's telling her mama the same thing that her husband was telling her. It's all that stuff. There may be some going on, but I think they play the same clips over and over and over again and say, "Well, today, you know," and they're just constantly lying to us, filling us with negativity. But we got to fill up our minds with whatever's good and pure and right and lovely. Think on these things. If we think on good stuff, what comes out? What is that old saying? Garbage in, get garbage out, right? So if you're filling your mind with garbage, guess what's going to come out? Garbage. If you get white stuff that makes you angry all the time, what's going to happen? You're going to become angry, right? I mean, I tell folks all the time, if you sit here and think about somebody, what they did to you long enough, you're liable to just go pop them upside the head, right? That's the truth. I used to hang around with a guy, and he was always angry, always wanting to fight. And I found out after a while when I was younger, I said, "You know what, I'm starting to get angry too," because I hung around him all the time. And I was like, "You know, this isn't good. You are who you hang around with. You are what you think." Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So whatever you continue to think over and over and over again, that's what we ultimately become, right? Didn't I tell y'all, some of y'all, was it y'all I was talking about a few weeks ago, about the lady at the family reunion, that we were looking through all the pictures at the family reunion, and there's this lady in the picture, and she just, you know, got this look on her face, and I probably didn't even do it justice, but I thought, oh, that's a face. And every picture I found of the same lady, she's got this face frozen on, this same expression frozen on her face. How did it get there? By what she constantly was thinking about, right? I'm thinking, okay, once, twice, over, year after year after year, every time she's got her picture taken, she's got this nasty look on her face. Eventually, what we think out here comes out in all kinds of ways. We get a set face. I'm mad all the time, or I'm angry, or I'm bitter, or I'm whatever, right? And that's what happens. That's why we got to fill our minds with good stuff. And you know what? This is the good stuff right here, the Word of God. This is the best thing we can fill our mind with right here. What was the old thing that said, sow a thought, reap an action, sow a action that you reap a habit, and then you reap a habit, and that reaps a destiny and an eternity. So it all starts out what we think, right? And as we continue to think that, we become that type of person. And eventually, that's who we are. That's the way we live all the time. That's the things that we do all the time. So Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, right? How are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You fill it up with this. See, when you put this in there, the more you put this in there, the more the old junk that we used to have in there goes away, right? I tell folks all the time that the things that we used to do and the things we used to think that were wrong or bad, we just keep filling our mind up with this, and eventually it pushes that stuff so far down into the back that you can't remember it. And you don't want to remember it. Somebody asks you, well, what did you used to do or something? You say, I don't want to talk about it. I wasn't a very good person. I wasn't very nice. And just leave it at that and just don't start dragging up details, right? Because the more you think about it, what happens? It brings it back up there. And if you get to the place where you don't think about it enough, you know what happens? We eventually shove it so far down in there that we don't remember it anymore. So right thoughts lead to right actions, which lead to right attitudes. So when we think about those things, that's what Psalm chapter 1 talks about. Let me read one verse over there, a couple of verses in Psalm chapter 1. We'll try to wrap this up if I can get all the way over to Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is he not doing? He's not letting people, he's not listening to those people, the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners. He's beginning to hang around with them and stand around with them and then sits in the seat of the scornful. What's the scornful? They're always putting stuff down and always negative and always, and you're sitting with them, you're hanging out with them. But he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Here's the results. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So when we trust in the Lord and we meditate in his word, we're like a tree next to the water. We never lose our leaves. We're always bearing fruit. That means good stuff, right? And whatever we do shall prosper. He's not talking about getting rich, but good stuff comes out of our life. But what does he say? The ungodly are not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So let's finish this one last thing. There's the practice of godly living. Chapter 4, verse 9, he says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's practice of godly living. Paul says, whatever you've heard and learned and received and saw in me, do that, and the God of peace will be with you, right? So there's the practice of godly living. James 1 and 22 says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word, right? Because if you're a hearer only, what are you doing? Deceiving yourself, right? And then lastly, there's the provision of God's presence. In other words, what does he say? When you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. So God is always with us. You know, think about this. That God is not this distant God. That's the difference between Christianity and all these other so-called religions. Our faith is a relationship with a living God. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That they may know you. Knowing God is eternal life. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who died in our place, and we say that there's nothing I can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it, but Jesus paid it all, as the old song says, God forgives us and saves us, right? We say, God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I'm a sinner. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And so when we put our trust in him, he forgives us and saves us. And he's always there for us. He's never too busy. We can call on God, as one man said, anytime, and we never get a busy signal. He's not up there going, hey, Marty, sorry, I got 40 million other people on the other line. You'll have to call back later. But he's always there for us. He said, what you got? Just tell me all your troubles. Tell me all your problems. Just cast your cares on me because I care for you. And think about that verse, 26, verse 3, Isaiah. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That's the deal. We need to put our trust in him and put our mind on him. Hebrews 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? And then there's an old song, maybe some of y'all know, that says, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, when we look at Jesus, all this junk around us, it doesn't bother us. Because we know he's still on the throne, he's still in control, and it's going to be okay no matter what happens. Because I'm a Christian, and the worst thing that can happen to me in this old world is as bad as it's ever going to get. Because the Bible says in Romans 8:18, the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the things that we'll have in glory. Paul said, after all the stuff he went through, he said, this is a momentary light affliction which works a far more eternal weight of glory. He said, this is a light affliction. This guy was beat and shipwrecked and stoned, and they did everything in the book for this guy. And he said, this is a momentary light affliction. I mean, and I don't think most of us here have been through anything near like Paul has. And if Paul could say that, he put his trust in God, didn't he? If we had that kind of faith, what kind of trust would we have? We wouldn't have to worry. We wouldn't have to go through a lot of the struggles we go through because of the trust that we have in him. Oh, for a faith like that, right? Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. I mean, go read that chapter when you leave here. Go read Hebrews 11 and you'll find out all these things these people went through, but yet they still trusted God. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. And we thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross, Lord. If there's even one here today who has never truly trusted you, is dependent on something else besides Jesus Christ, as I heard the man preaching this morning, Jesus Christ plus anything is not true faith. But it's Christ alone. The Bible says we are saved by grace. Through faith, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you said that we are saved by grace, getting what we don't deserve through faith. It is the gift of God. Lord, if there's one who's dependent on something they've done to get them into heaven today, help them to lay that aside, whatever it may be, and to cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. Father, just thank you for who you are. Thank you that no matter what goes on, we can be content in whatever state we're in, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be stressed and strained, but we can depend on you no matter how tough it gets. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, "We want to have a real family." Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.